just a bunch of men that get together,
amen.
And we go up on this hill in Yucaipa, and we pray together, and we cry together, and we learn together. And when we come down the hill, it's like you could hear the rumbling
right.
of
amen.
Almighty God coming down the hill, charged up. And I wonder how many come down the hill charged and fall into the same trap that is waiting for us. Because the evil one is everywhere. He's there waiting. So I put a message together, and it really encouraged me because, as Pastor told me, I see the testimony that you and your wife has had in your faith in God, and I know that's going to encourage somebody. How God has touched you, and how you continue to follow Him no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you go through. Well, you know, I never really got the opportunity to share my message up there at the retreat. But you know, God doesn't make mistakes. And God knew that this message was going to be shared today. So here we are. When we think of the role of the Holy Spirit, we can sometimes misunderstand the what, where's, and why's this amazing Spirit Jesus promised as a helper can make us a better servant of God, a better loving parent, and a good example to others as we go through our daily lives. Jesus made it very simple. If you look at John chapter 14, starting at verse 15 through 17, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you." You know, just in this verse alone, we hear the what, where, and the why in these verses. The helper who God gives us to dwell is in us the day, the very day we hear that knock. And the Holy Spirit says, "Are you ready?" And we say yes. The Holy Spirit comes into us, and we will never, ever be the same, no matter how many times you try.
We're
not going to get rid of the Holy Spirit. Because God doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
Praise God for that. So I'm telling you, from many years of experience, this Spirit is not going away. No matter how many times you put obstacles in front of it, no matter how many times you want to shove it in the back pocket, no matter how many times you want to shove it in the closet, it's going to go with you. You could even say, "Stay home, I'm just going to the liquor store." It's going with you. And when you open that door and you're looking at the variety of the desires of your liver, the Holy Spirit is there saying, "You really want to do this." Now, I know I'm not the only one that's ever heard that voice. And that's just one instance. So no matter how far you go, you can't run from the Holy Spirit. You know, I hear people all the time questioning their Christianity. And each time I ask them, I say, "Do you ever feel bad in your heart when you do something wrong? Or when you're just about to do something? Or have a bad thought? Do you ever feel like there's something else inside your heart that is tugging at you saying, 'Don't do it. You're not going to be the same if you do that.'" You know, I've heard many testimonies just in this room alone of people who were on the verge of doing something vital, and the Holy Spirit stopped them. And they're here today as a testimony,
amen,
showing what God had done. God took a bad situation, and the Holy Spirit that is indwelt in our hearts from the very beginning, even though we weren't ready, continues to be faithful and loving to us enough to say, "Don't do it," over and over and over and over again. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit never gets tired or never gives up on us? Man, can you imagine how we would be? The Spirit has many names. We know here the Spirit is the helper that Jesus talked about. He's also called the comforter,
yes.
the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener. And this is what I love the most, the standby. Because he's always ready to stand by us when we mess it up.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if there's anybody that can mess things up, it's us humans.
That's right.
Right? Let's go on. But be of good cheer. The Holy Spirit is faithful and ready to help us back on track. I'm sure everybody in this room can't even count how many times you've fallen away from the Lord. I wish to God we could all say, none of us. Once we accepted Christ, man, that road was perfect for me. I stayed on the road, I never sinned. But like Chucky said in this morning's Power Hour message, as I walked in the door, he said, if we sin and we don't admit it, we make God out to be a liar, right?
Yes.
God set this whole planet for a reason. Can you think of a time where you were so desperately frantic because you couldn't get something done or you needed something to happen for a job or a test? I remember countless times when I'd be in high school and I grew up in a dysfunctional home where my dad wasn't a very nice man. He always treated us like dirt. We were never going to amount to anything. If I came home with bad grades, he would take a branch off the tree and take it to my hide. And then I'd be sitting in the corner. Can you imagine a 16, 17-year-old sitting in the corner or getting hit with a tree branch? But you know what? God had a plan.
Yes.
But I remember as a young man, I would pray and ask God, God, help me get out of this, and I'll go to church. I was a Catholic at that time. And somehow, miraculously, I would get out of the situation. See, the Holy Spirit was drawing me. I didn't know Him yet. But God was working already behind the scenes.
Amen.
Like He is in each and every one of our lives.
Amen.
And I remember saying, Lord, because You helped me, I'm going to go to church every Sunday. So I would go to the 5 o'clock Mass. I would get up early as a young adult, young teenager, and I would go to church at 5 in the morning. Then I found myself going for a couple of weeks and saying, okay, that's good enough. God knows my heart. God loves me. He's a loving and forgiving God, so I'm good until the next time, which just happened to be a few days later in my life. But, you know, I thank God that the Holy Spirit, as it continues to draw us near, never gives up on us.
That's right.
He never passes us by.
That's right.
You know, we find ourselves praying and asking for God's help all the time, even when we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Even as believers, we're not worthy, but it's only because of the grace of God and the Holy Spirit that we're able to go to the throne and ask God, and He hears us.
Yes.
He hears every single cry.
Amen.
That's how deep His love is. In John chapter 17, verse 26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all things that I said to you. Do we have any teachers in the room today? Any supervisors in the room? How effective are you when you're trying to teach a class whose attention is elsewhere?
Not effective at all.
Likewise, how many times do we fail because the desires of our hearts are elsewhere instead of where they need to be, in line with God? Here's the difference in this verse. He promises He will teach you all things and bring them to remembrance, all things that I said to you. You ever hear the Holy Spirit remind you countless times to do something that you need to do, or you didn't do, or you don't want to do? You know, Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you today from experience, if the Holy Spirit is in your heart and you continue to hear that voice, mm-hmm. you might as well throw your hands up in the air right now mm-hmm. and say, Lord, I surrender, because you're going to have your way with me. No matter what I say and do, I'm not going to let them off the hook until I do it. That's love. The Spirit will not let you off the hook. In fact, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, that shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please.
Yeah.
And it shall prosper in all, it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Yeah. God is the one. God is the orchestrator.
Yes.
We have any chess players in the room? Or let's start with checkers. Yes. Checkers Woo-hoo. Is easy. Yeah. All you got to do is move and then jump, right?
Yeah. Right.
Chess, you got to use a little smarts.
Right.
I thank God for the Holy Spirit when I play chess, because sometimes, I don't know, my horse wants to run the other way. Or I don't know what to do with my rock. My rook, whatever it's called. I used to think the castle was where I want to put my wife way up there on top. And they were there for a while. I can say that because she's not here today. But I'd like to share with you how amazing this Holy Spirit is in the role yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know, most of you know our story. I got saved in 1977. I was 19 years old, a young man. But I had my own views of living for Christ. After all, like I said, He's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. He loves me no matter what. Once I accept Him, I'm in. Unconditionally. See, I didn't read the fine print. All those years growing up, even in church, I never opened the Bible. Until 1977. Sure, I read scriptures, I heard scripture, but I only saw it in pamphlets. I only heard it from people who were speaking. I never got into the Word of God, so I didn't know God. But once you get into the Word of God, you are intimate with God because you get to know the inside
mm-hmm.
of what God is all about and why He sent His only Son to die on the cross. So for 36 years, I lived my life according to Ralph's version of Christianity. But then we got the news of cancer in October of 2013, and our lives would never be the same. Praise God. I thank God because, like Paul, who was Saul, on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus.
Yes, he
heard about Jesus. After all, he was persecuting all those who were following Jesus. He knew very well who Jesus was. I knew who Jesus was. But it wasn't until I went through those crossroads that I realized where my life was.
Yeah.
My advice I give to everybody these days is don't wait. Don't wait till you get to where I got to learn about how loving God is.
Amen.
How much He can give you. Mm-hmm. There's so much I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I can't. I'm limited. I love to play golf. Mm-hmm. I haven't played golf so long. The spiders love my golf bag right now. Not to mention my golf partner. I worry about who he's going out there with. But, you know, don't wait until something happens in your life. Do it now.
That's right.
Because God has a plan for each and every one of us. And He has not called you to do nothing.
That's right.
He calls everybody to do something.
Amen.
So I heard the Spirit tell me, are you ready to stop messing around? Are you ready to get your life together? You see, my wife and I, we were going to church for 10 years. And we were trying to live a church life. I even taught Bible study. She even sat beside me and supported me. And she even helped me teach some of the Bible studies. But I was just playing church. Because I still had one foot in the world and one foot in church. And I was living a dangerous life. Because you know what God says about being lukewarm?
Yeah.
He wants you either hot
or cold.
That's right.
Right? See? I had no excuse. Once you read the word, there's no excuse.
That's right.
Because God's word is truth.
Yes,
and the Holy Spirit is there to remind you of the verse. You ever notice there's times where a verse will come to you? You may not be able to say exactly where it is, but believe me, that verse is speaking to your heart and saying word for word, like it is in the word.
Right.
What you're going to do right now is wrong. Right?
That's right.
You know what I thank God? I thank God that on the other hand, when you do something good, you remember. That remembrance part, the Holy Spirit reminds us you're doing what the Father is asking you to do.
Amen.
You just gave that person what they needed, unconditionally, without asking anything in return. And you even let them know, if there's anything else you need, call me. That's the evidence that God gives us through the Holy Spirit to let us know that we're doing what God's word is asking us to do. So, you know, I took notice during that time, the first 5 years of going through this cancer. And as my wife saw me go from 285 pounds down to 116 today, you know, and I'm going to say this right now in case anybody noticed, I don't have my wedding ring on today, not because my wife's not with me today, but see, I don't want another wedding ring. She wants to buy me one. I want that original. So I have to put tape on it, and it sits in the drawer, so whenever we go out, I put it on. Today, as I was walking out the door, my wife was really sick. And she was trying to make sure my shirt was tucked in and, you know, dressing me up nice. And I forgot to get my ring, and I feel bad. I feel naked. But I thank God that I don't feel naked because it's a symbol. I feel naked because it's just my wife and my love. And it's precious to me. And I thank God that God allows us to have those precious moments. Now, before, if I said that in the neighborhood, I'd get beat up, right? And they don't walk around the neighborhood saying precious, right? But anyways, getting back to this. So I started seeing God work in my life. The Bible says when we are strong, others are weak, and we are to go to their rescue, right? And vice versa, when we're weak, they are strong. At my weakest point, I saw my wife's strength. And it helped me because little did I know when she got diagnosed with cancer this July, it was my turn. Still battling cancer, but it was my turn to be the rock.
Amen.
To trust in God. Not for me to be the rock, but to trust in my God.
Amen.
And 2 weeks ago, Wednesday, we were told she's in remission.
Amen.
That was such an answer to prayer.
Yes. Yes.
And Pastor will say this too. For the day of her operation, we both knew that God had took that cancer that day away.
Amen.
But you know what it did? It gave me great hope.
Amen.
It gave me great hope.
Praise God.
That no matter what happens in my life with this illness that don't belong to me, it has no business being in my body, I'm doing what God wants me to do.
Praise God.
And that's all that matters. And I know that He can heal me right now.
That's right. Yes.
If it's in His will.
Praise God.
But until then, I'm going to do whatever I need to do.
Amen.
So we have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes.
Now you might be sitting here and saying, okay, you know, here I am, trusting in the Holy Spirit. I'm reading the Word. But what about my spouse? My spouse isn't here with me. My spouse isn't following God. What about me? Well, here's the answer. You need to be still and listen. You need to be still and listen to your spouse's needs, concerns, and wants. But they're not following God. It doesn't matter. You're married. Right? Be still and see the Holy Spirit working in their life. Didn't you hear me? I just said they're not following God. They don't go to church. But the Holy Spirit is drawing them near. If the Holy Spirit isn't drawing them near, you're not doing what you need to do for God.
Mm.
Right? Because if you're an example for God, the light's shining. They're not blind.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Even if it's, honey, what do you want for dinner?
Amen.
Right? So we need to be still. We need to see the Holy Spirit working in their lives. We need to be aware of their strong and weak points and come beside them spiritually as a spiritual leader. See, a lot of times the men think they have to be the spiritual leader, but the women, you know, when you're there and your man's not following God or he's not living up to what God's word says, there has to be a leader there, right? Who do you follow, man or God? The Bible says we need to follow God. The Holy Spirit in your heart says you need to follow me. All those, and I just read it in the beginning, the world doesn't recognize him. But he may not recognize him, but he's going to recognize your life. And you just may have the answer for your spouse. But we need to be willing to be still and listen. We need to be still and surrender totally to the Holy Spirit. To allow the Spirit to lead your ears and eyes and hearts.
Yes.
You notice I didn't say one point? Your mind? Well, that's good because your mind controls your mouth.
Mm.
So we need to go that extra mile for one another. Keep it in mind that this is the very partner that God allowed you to be bond with. See, a lot of times we make mistakes. And I don't want to show of hands, but how many times do you hear somebody say, oh yeah, you know what, we're going to get married. He's not a Christian, but I'm strong for both of us, and he'll come to Christ. I know this is the man for me because God ordained it. Right? Where is he today? Or where is she today? But you know what? Either way you do it, there's nothing impossible for God. The decisions that we make in life are decisions that we make, human decisions. Does that mean that God hates us? No. He still loves us. Does that mean God can't take a bad situation and make it a good one? Yes, he can. If there's anybody that can make a good situation out of it, it's God and only God.
Amen.
Because we'll mess it up, like I just said earlier, in all our lives. So we need to go that extra mile for one another. God has given you out of love his son Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we don't have the Holy Spirit. That was God's plan for us. So we need to trust. And then we need action. We need to step out on faith, knowing that you are not alone in this. After all, we have a promise. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, to be strong and of good courage, do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who gives you, who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He's never going to leave you.
God.
That evidence of the Holy Spirit that continues to tug at your hearts, that's the evidence of the promise. You're never going to let that go. He's never going to leave you. Never, ever.
Never.
We could say never, and we could walk away, but it's never going to walk away from us. No matter how much we try. And of course, he's calling us who belong to him. But some of us have a hard time committing to do what he's asked us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. And everybody knows this. Jesus says, go out there, therefore, and make disciples out of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you to do. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's called the Great Commission. Like I said, sometimes we misunderstand that this amazing Holy Spirit Jesus has promised us is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are alive. We are a new creation. We are free from sin through the Holy Spirit. Man, that's everything. Everything. You know, when I was able to go to the prison ministry, when I'd walk through those gates, it could be intimidating the first time you go through, because they check you. That you have to go through the ID check, you have to go through everything, and if you're looking the wrong way, you might not get in, right? But when you get in there, and you see all these men and women who are incarcerated, who've done crimes, who have went before a judge, who got sentenced, I've never felt the Spirit of God as strong as I have when I'm in those prisons.
Amen.
Because you got men and women there that are at the bottom of the barrel, in a sense. And they have nowhere to turn. But Jesus Christ is real to them.
Amen.
And I think, what a shame. We are free. We have everything. And Jesus Christ is a play toy to us at times. I'd like to leave you with these three C's. The first one is comfort. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our supporter, our comforter, our strengthener. The Holy Spirit encourages us. The Holy Spirit compels us to compare and care for others and loves. It helps us to come beside somebody when they're in pain and suffering. And it gives us life. Counselor. He reminds us that even in the suffering that we go through in life, that we have the hope and the promise, knowing that he is going to provide us with peace and comfort through the pain. And of course, conviction. He reminds us that the suffering is temporary and that we have hope in him and what Christ did on the cross to surrender so he can have his way in us and through us. In the midst of your pain and suffering and sorrow, that indwelling Holy Spirit provides peace and the power to not only endure, but to have victory over it and rejoice in it. You know, in this day and age, yesterday I was sitting with my wife and daughter, and our daughter's 22 years old, and we started talking about school. And there was a special on the atomic bomb, and my daughter couldn't understand how the United States would drop a bomb like that, and why the schools don't talk about it. And I told her, wait a minute. I said, I remember hearing about that in history books in elementary school. She never heard about the wars until college.
Yeah.
She started going to college.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow. In the midst of all these years, I'm thinking my daughter and my kids are hearing what I heard on the foundation of what our country did. They're not even hearing it. So what are they hearing? I thought, oh my God. I thank God, and I told my wife last night, I thank God that we were able to bring our children up in the latter years with Christ in the home. I thank God that we taught them that prayer for everything has to happen. And I also thank God that God used us in our testimony for them to see God's works in action. And how powerful the Holy Spirit is. But if anything, talk to your children. Find out what they're teaching them. Because if they're not teaching them now, what else are they teaching them? Where's God's word in all that? I remember when we used to pray in school. And I don't know about now. So the only thing that happens in our lives is we need to read the word. We need to make sure that we're living a life that God wants us to live. And a lot of times I ask myself, Lord, help me. Because sometimes the ones that are closest to me are the ones that get hurt the most because I'm not feeling good. And sometimes the ones that are closest to me hurt me the most because I'm not feeling good and words hurt. And I love what you said, you're right. You know, when our minds get involved, you know, we sometimes have a tendency to say from our mind to our mouth, we forget about our heart. We forget about who's indwelling in our heart. We forget about what we're all about. We forget about what the word says. And the saddest part of all is we can't take it back.
That's right.
Because it's out there. And it hurts. And we don't want to, I know nobody in this room wants to be somebody that's hurting somebody else. So in actuality, the bottom line here, the Holy Spirit is real. The Word of God is real. And we need to examine our lives daily. I never understood why God said one day at a time. One day at a time. I can't even handle one day, right, by myself. But you know what? I understand now. God wants to spend each and every day with me because I'm precious.
Yes.
That's right.
And if I'm that precious to him, he's given me a precious wife to love and to cherish. And he's given us five precious children to love and adore. And he's given us seven, well now eight, because one more is on the way.
Oh wow.
Eight beautiful grandchildren to love and adore. What more could we want? But you know what? The best part of it all is that our foundation is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when your foundation is built on a solid rock, man, you have everything.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.